Welcome to Drop of Inspiration. I'm your host, Deidreen Joyce. Thanks for joining us for another one of our Seed to Seal episodes. I'm really excited to share this story with you since it's about one of my favorite oils and one of my favorite places we've visited so far on the podcast. Today, our story begins in the 14th century. In the early 1300s, the plague made its way through Asia and into Europe, where it killed millions. Those remaining were desperate to find a way to prevent and cure the disease. This led to some pretty unfortunate ideas that included ingesting arsenic, emeralds, mercury, burning down buildings, and even living in the sewers. How the plague was spread was also a mystery at the time, and in the early 1600s, about 300 years after the first major outbreak, the plague came back, and so did the superstition surrounding it. In the royal courts of France, King Louis XIV and many of French nobility came to believe that the plague and other illnesses were all spread through water. They developed a fear of water to the point that they just stopped bathing. And as you can imagine, the nobles of King Louis's court did not smell great. In addition to some of the more extreme remedies being tried out during this time, there were many Europeans using their knowledge of plants to create herbal tinctures that might offer relief. And though they weren't a cure to the plague, they were a cure to King Louis's royal stench. Pharmacies around Europe began distilling fragrant plants and mixing them with alcohol. These aromatic solutions became all the rage, and King Louis and his unbathed cohorts were obsessed with them. They could smell nice without having to bathe. I'm sure we all know some modern-day toddlers who might be able to relate. The perfume industry boomed. Many different concoctions made their way into royal courts, but one in particular created more buzz than the rest. In 1708, Giovanni Maria Farina, an Italian living in Cologne, Germany, wrote to his brother Jean-Baptiste, "I have found a fragrance that reminds me of an Italian spring morning, of mountain daffodils and orange blossoms after the rain. It gives me great refreshment, strengthens my senses and imagination." That fragrance is Eau de Cologne. This new elixir was a successor to an original formula called Aqua Admirabilis, created by Farina's mentor, Gian Paolo Femmini. This recipe had been handed down for generations and is still popular today. And, as you might have guessed, it's also the origin of the word cologne. Eau de Cologne's unique and refreshing fragrance included classic aromatics like rosemary and lavender. But what really set it apart and drove people like Napoleon Bonaparte to burn through gallons and gallons of the stuff was a rare Mediterranean citrus known as bergamot. The name bergamot is speculated to derive from the Turkish words begarmudi, which means the prince's pear, a fittingly majestic title for what is considered to be the finest of citrus notes. Bergamot is one of the most prominent foundational materials for perfumes enjoyed all over the world. And while variations of bergamot are grown in small quantities around the world, the bergamot that we know and love can only be found on a small 100-kilometer strip along Italy's southern coast. On the toe of Italy's boot is Reggio di Calabria, a beautiful place known for its citrus orchards, and specifically for the one citrus that the locals revere so much, it's become one of the symbols for the region. When we visited the city in January, we stopped at a gelato shop next to our hotel. And while we were staring at all the flavors, the man behind the counter handed us a sample and said, "This is the one you want. It's the prize lemon of Calabria." He was right. It was bergamot flavored, and I can't imagine a more fitting or more delicious introduction to this Italian region. But we didn't go all the way to Italy for gelato. Although now that I'm thinking about it, a gelato tour of Italy might be something for my bucket list. We were in Reggio di Calabria to learn about bergamot from Giorgio LaFascia, an expert in scent with a nose for citrus and a scientist's knowledge of essential oils.
My name is Giorgio LaFascia. I grow principally the bergamot. Bergamot is a citrus, is a fruit, is a hybrid, of course, is a mix between a bitter orange, some lemon. To have an idea, is like a lemon, a little bit greenish, and with different, of course, different aroma, because the bergamot aroma is much more rich than the other citrus. Just to give an idea, the essential oils of a bergamot have more than 100 components. Just to say that the oil is really very rich.
Giorgio is a third-generation bergamot farmer and the head of the Bella Vista Partner Farm. If the La Faccia family tree were a real live tree growing out of the ground, it would no doubt be bergamot.
The farm is here from 1930. They start the farm, my grandfather, Francesco La Faccia, after the follow my father, Domenico La Faccia, and myself, I joined my father 20 years ago.
The farm sits on a hill in Condafuri, right near the coast. You can see and smell acres and acres of citrus plants, the Mediterranean Sea, and even the island of Sicily. It's hard to imagine a more picturesque setting. It's a quiet farming village, and with the beach and bright blue ocean nearby, it's like walking right into a postcard from Italy. It would be easy to imagine a gorgeous place like this overrun by tourists, but it's been amazingly well preserved over the years, and for good reason.
Bergamot grows only in the Ionian coast, I mean from Reggio Calabria, the main town, and Locri is at 100 kilometers from Reggio, 50 miles to give an idea. It's a special microclimate that gave the possibility to grow the bergamot, because in the past they tried to plant bergamot in the north of Reggio, and the climate is more or less the same, but obviously it's not the same. And also in Sicily, just in front, 25 miles from Condafuri, where we are now, we have the Sicily, the same coast that doesn't grow. For that reason, bergamot needs special climate that there is only in this part of coast. They tried in some place, and they plant the small, the baby bergamot, and they don't grow. They remain very small. In the other areas, they grow, but for example, we check some fruits coming from Sicily, in Acireale area, that is very good area for lemon, for example, but they grow regularly, but the fruits doesn't have any aroma. It's nice fruit, good juice, but no aroma. We can know why. It's a very, very special product, and I think we don't know all about bergamot.
100 kilometers is roughly 62 miles. You could drive the length of the bergamot belt in less than an hour, which is impressive considering that almost all of the bergamot used across the globe is grown right here. It's truly a special place, and the stewards of bergamot protect it quite fiercely. To say that Reggio di Calabria is unique would probably be a bit of an understatement. This exceptional little corner of the earth contains a surprising amount of mystery. No one really knows where bergamot came from, or when it got to Italy, or why it grows best in this region. But there's a lot that is known about bergamot. And for that story, we'll jump backwards again. This time, about 100 years ago.
I think the first use in perfumery was at the Eau de Cologne. There's a famous Eau de Cologne that was made not in the place, but was made in Germany, the first of the cologne that they contain bergamot. After that, they start the using in the all famous perfumes, not just for men, but also for lady. Because if we check the formulas of the very old and famous perfumes, we found bergamot oil. Because it's a product that the aroma go in the good direction with wood notes, but also with the other notes. It's perfect with all aromas in perfume. I say that not because I'm a perfumer, but because I spoke in the past, I continue to speak with the perfumers, and they say that the essential oil of bergamot is one of the most important oil for creation.
In the 1920s and 30s, there was another boom in the perfume industry. Demand in the U.S. caused commercially produced perfume to take off globally, and Reggio di Calabria was the one place in the world that could provide the quality of bergamot that is a foundational ingredient for many popular blends. Giorgio's grandfather, Francesco La Faccia, was a clever man who realized that this bergamot stuff was pretty special, and so he took a keen interest in it. Francesco was a chemist and pharmacist living in Reggio when the demand for bergamot reached an all-time high. In those days, being a pharmacist meant something a little different than it means today.
The family of my grandfather were in the pharmacy because my grand-grandfather were pharmacist. My grand-grand-grandfather were pharmacist for that reason, and they had two pharmacies in Reggio. And in the past, the pharmacy was completely different from now because they made medicine with the herbs, with the oils. And for that reason, my grandfather, they learn, was pharmacist too, but they learn from his father how makes the medicine. And I remember that my father told me that a lot of people goes in the pharmacy to have the special medicine made from my grandfather. For that reason, I think was the first step for that, why my grandfather, after the pharmacy, goes in the essential oils world. Because to have a good product, to be sure that the product is good and is pure, I think we must start from the back, from the growing of the plants, and control all steps.
The La Facces purchased their plot of land in 1930 and went straight to work. With a background in chemistry, Francesco did things a little differently than most farmers at the time. He was dedicated to precision and detail. Francesco was constantly working at improvements to get the absolute best of his small plantation. His clever mind did not go unnoticed, and he became a valuable asset to others in the citrus and essential oils industry.
To improve the quality and also to improve the yield in oil, in essential oil. He studied distillation, of course, but other kind of new system of extraction. Because, for example, for extraction of bergamot, the first extraction was with the small machine, with Calabrese machine. After we went to Pelatrice, and they developed a new system of extraction.
Francesco wanted to learn everything about bergamot. He paid close attention to his plants from the moment they burst from the ground to the moment that the scent burst from the perfume bottle. He studied with perfumers around Europe, with citrus growers in the US, and he went to essential oil conventions. He took everything he was learning and married it with his background in chemistry. He ran tests and did extensive research on bergamot and its byproducts.
Because, you know, in the past, today we have the chromatography. For that reason, with in QC is much easier. But in the past, we need to have a lot of experience, nose experience, and also analytical experience to know if it was essential oil was adulterated or not, if it was pure or not. And I think the work was much more tough in the past than now. Now you put as 2 grams in a machine and they check all with the colon, they check all continents. In the past, no, it was only the nose and the knowledge of the product, that's it.
There's a small office building on the farm, and on the top floor is a conference room. The walls of the room are covered with accolades, certifications, and awards that show just how influential the LaFaccia family has been in the world of essential oils. There's even a picture of Giorgio's grandfather with the Pope, for good measure.
My grandfather, with his knowledge and his experience, they travel all the world, especially in the United States, especially in Florida, in the place where it was also growing citrus soils, to help the cultivation, to help the farmers, to educate the farmers, to improve the citrus fruits, and to try to help also to improve also the quality of essential oils.
Francesco became so well versed in this knowledge that the Italian government appointed him as an official researcher of essential oils, and his work was published in various articles and books you can still read today.
Continue to speak about my grandfather, Francesco LaFaccia. In 1967, he received a prize, Bergamotto d'Oro, is a gold bergamot, for his contribution in citrus essential oils. My grandfather, he was a chemist, and he was director of the Stazione Sperimentale delle Essenze dei Derivati Agrumari in Reggio, where it was a government laboratory to study the essential oils and develop new essential oils that was possible to make in Calabria. For that reason, he made a lot of studies of essential oils, especially in bergamot. And this kind of studies you can check also in the books, like Günther is, I think, is the number one book for essential oils.
Francesco LaFaccia was clearly brilliant and influential, and his son Domenico was very much the same. Domenico followed in his father's footsteps and was educated in chemistry. He continued to improve upon systems and work with essential oil experts all over the world. There was now 2 generations of wisdom to be handed down to the man who runs the farm now, and I'm sure it won't stop there.
I think that the knowledge that my grandfather and my father gave to me is something really, really unique, because you can't learn this kind of education, this kind of knowledge. I am very happy. I am a really lucky man, because I received that from my family. Me, I remember when I was really child, and I came with my brother to the factory, and I had, I think, four or five years old. And my grandfather, we went to the factory close to the machine. They go down, they take some oil, and they put on on my skin and the skin of my brother, and they try to explain what kind of a product, what kind of a smell we. And now I remember this thing. I think it's fabulous, absolutely fabulous.
Perhaps inspired by moments like this, Giorgio eventually went to Switzerland to study the art and science of smell.
Me, I studied in Reggio. I finished my school. After I started the university, I studied economics. But at the meantime of the university, I made some train in perfumery school in Switzerland. And I start the first section. I spend only the during the summer holiday, just to learn all the products, to learn to smell, because it's so important to smell the essential oils. And after the university, I decided to spend 2 years in the same school to make a better training, to learn all products, special naturals, and to try to make some compound. After that, I come back to Reggio and I join my father. And I think the best school is the experience with the person that knows that a big knowledge. And me, I start really to do everything with my father, to join everything in cultivation of the plant of the fields. But also they start to learn the distillation and the extraction of the oil from the fruits.
To me and my untrained nose, the only language I have to describe bergamot are words like fresh and citrus, maybe invigorating or refreshing. An expert like Giorgio would describe it quite differently.
Smell, the oil is very rich, is fresh in top note, but we can also smell the background note, the whole sesquiterpenes, linalyl acetate, linalool. The gamma terpenin. Oh, it's really very, very beautiful and very rich. I am sure that fruits like that, we obtain a top quality essential oil.
Even after his studies in Switzerland, Giorgio credits his father and grandfather for being his greatest teachers.
This work for me is my life. Every day I say thanks to my grandfather, to my father. It's a beautiful world.
Giorgio isn't the only one who should thank his family. Earlier in the episode, Giorgio was going through some of the work his grandfather had done. At one point, he mentions the Günther series, a 6-volume series simply titled The Essential Oils. Published in the 1940s, this series was one of the earliest attempts to compile scientific research from the world's experts on essential oils. And at the time, there was no better expert on bergamot oil than our very own Francesco Laface. Here's Giorgio reading some of his grandfather's contributions to the series.
Concerning the studies that my grandfather made, we can see in the books, we can see many studies about all essential oils. For example, in this article, this book, there is all description of essential oils, all properties, all good condition where can grow the bergamot, climatic and soil conditions, speak about everything. The harvesting, expression of the oil.
The Gunther series is still one of the most well-known resources on educating the world on essential oils to this day. I couldn't help but wonder if these books had any influence on the founder of Young Living. So I sent one of my coworkers, John Wetton, to find out. Here's Mary Young.
One day we were talking in the office and John said, "Mary, are you familiar with an essential oil set of books, kind of like an encyclopedia?" And I said, "Oh, you're talking about the Gunther books." And he kind of stepped back and he was surprised that I knew all about it. Well, this is one of the first. And we've had a set in our home as long as I can remember. And many, many times I would go upstairs or I would find Gary at his desk with the Gunther book open, studying, looking, trying to find more information. But what was fascinating is Gunther was not actually the one out there doing it. He was the one writing about it. He was writing about what other people did. And it's a fabulous encyclopedia. There's even one here. It says Detection of Foreign Oils. Oh my goodness, how exciting to read all of the different things that are in this book. Gary even underlined the things that were important to him. He prized these books. He never wanted to let anybody borrow them because they're very hard to find.
Inside every bottle of bergamot, and in fact, every bottle of essential oils Young Living and their partner farms produce, there's an unmeasurable amount of passion distilled within. All of our partner farms have really rich and unique stories, but something they have in common is a deeply rooted passion for the environment that provides these amazing plants, the products that come from them, and the people who benefit from the whole thing. From Asia to Europe to Australia, wherever our partner farms may be or whatever culture they may come from, it's this commitment to the earth that really connects them all.
It's very important to have a partner like Young Living for me, principal, but for my company, because we go in the same direction. I mean, the most important thing is the product, the quality, the purity of the product. And me, I can do the best product in the world, but I need also some support. And I founded Young Living, a very good partner for that, because they appreciate a lot my product. They want pure product and they can also pay the product. And for me, it's very important because I can do very well my job to control, to manage everything, and at the final, give a good product. 100% pure, but not only that, good aroma and everything.
When someone dedicates their life to something like this, when their father and their father's father gave all their efforts and passion to perfecting a single endeavor, it's almost reprehensible to think that work like this would be exploited or altered just so someone could get something this precious for a lower quality or a cheaper price. When it comes to bergamot from our Bella Vista partner farm, it's not just about selling a product. It's about sharing this family's history with people all over the world. It may take extra effort, and it's certainly not easy. But we keep finding people and organizations who are matching Young Living's seed-to-seal standards. People who would never think to bring anything but their best to the table. People who are just as passionate about essential oils as we are, and who want to give people the best of the best. Dedicated farmers like Giorgio and his family put a lot of care into sharing their best work with people like our Young Living members, who respect every effort that's put into the purity, quality, and sustainability of the oils that we use. Every time we do an episode about one of our essential oils, I'll diffuse that oil at my desk. It's one of the ways to remind myself that our seed-to-seal standards have important and unique people at every part of the process who are making that possible. So, I hope the next time that you use bergamot, you'll remember that in every small drop, there's a much bigger story. Thanks to Giorgio and the LaFaccia family, and thank you for listening.